Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Praise the Lord. I'm excited to be up here in front of you. Amen. As we continue to keep on moving in this new year, God is doing some things in us. Amen. How many want God to do something new in you, right? We got to get to a place where we are saying, God, use me. We sang it in that song, do what you want to do, say what you want to say. Amen. Move the way you want to move. We're your people. So God, I pray to God that as I share the word today, dear God, that we would be alert, dear God, that we would wake, be alert to what you're doing. Dear God, that we would not fall to sleep, dear God, and be lulled to sleep, oh God. But let your word keep us strong. Keep us alert for what's happening today. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody seen, been watching the news? We've been having some kind of nuclear war stuff kind of popping off. Anybody been seeing that? There was an airplane that left Iran, and I'm not going to say what happened. It's kind of like up in the air. They're trying to figure it out. But there was some missiles that were shot at different countries, and there's a lot that's going on right now. And how many know that we as a church, we have to be alert? Because the enemy is roaring. The Bible says he walks around like a lion seeking who he may devour. Amen. I was reading or I was listening to a podcast of Joyce Myers this week. And she was just talking about how if God doesn't come in time, even the elect, those that have been chosen by him, will be deceived. Amen. So what we have to make sure is that no lie, as they were saying in the thing, is inside of us. How many know that there's many lies that we bought into, right? We get caught up in many lies. So anytime we read the word, it has to wake us up. Somebody say, wake up, wake up. Wake up. Because I know that the enemy is trying to just, oh, everything is good. Everything is good. Oh, you need a good job. Let me get you a good job. Oh, you need that house over there. You need this. You need security. Okay. And see, some of those good things can become a hindrance to us if we don't keep them in the right perspective. Amen. I know it's not just a good thing. It's a God thing when God moves. So we have to keep that in mind. But as I was praying today, God just said, be alert. And don't sleep. Somebody say, don't sleep. Now, you know, the young folks, they say, don't sleep. That means don't miss out. Yeah. Don't miss out on anything. If you're sleeping, you missed out. All right. And we have to be alert. So I got four passages that we're going to run into. The first one is 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Starting at verse 5 in that chapter as well. And this is the theme. Many times when God speaks something to me, he kind of gives me a scripture that goes along with that. Like I'll hear it and then I know that's the scripture. Okay, cool. That's confirmation. Somebody say confirmation. As we just got done fasting, that's the way that God speaks to us, is through confirmation. Many times he'll say something once and then you'll walk around and you'll hear it again. You'll hear somebody else say it. Or you might just open your Bible up, right, Brother Tamron, and man, I just was just reading about this, or this was in my spirit. That's what the way God speaks to us, amen? So as we prayed for God to speak to us, many times he's already speaking to us. Now it's that confirmation that we need, amen? It says like this, likewise, you younger people, anybody young in here? Amen. Come on, man, come on, I'm young. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Oh, man, I don't know if we're supposed to read that. Hey, I'm just going to say this. If you want to be alert, you got to watch what happened before. You got to learn from the people that came before. Amen. As I've been in church many years, there's some stuff I still don't understand, so I have to be linked with some elders in the faith. Amen. Why is that important? Because the world even says history repeats itself, right? That's what happens with history is somebody did this one time and because they didn't pay attention to their elders, it ended up happening again. So we have to pay attention to the elders that God has placed in our lives. Amen. And then it says again, it just, you know, it confirms it just so you know it was God's word. It says, submit yourself to your elders. And it says, yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Because what? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. One way that you can stay alert is still saying, God, I need you. Many of us, we get to this place where we begin to walk around and act like, oh, I got this thing together, right? Where, oh, I got it, God. I would pray, but, you know, I don't have the time, man. But God, bless my day and let me keep pushing. Let me keep going. What begins to happen is when you stop being humble and saying you need God, you begin to be subject to not being alert. Amen. It says, verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Let me read that again. Therefore, humble yourselves. Somebody say humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. So who are we humbling ourselves to? God, the mighty hand of God. OK. And see, this is a crazy thing. When you humble yourself, you're not even humbling yourself to the full extent of God. It's just his hand. That's crazy. You're like God's hand is so big that we have to humble ourselves just to his hand. I don't know if you guys catch that. One of God's hands. I mean, we've heard people say he holds the whole world in his hands. Right. Anybody believe that in here? Anybody believe that? Is God in control? Yes. He holds the whole world. But he tells us to humble ourselves under his mighty hand. And then there's two things that I want to see. It's just his hand, but his hand is mighty. That's what the word says. What does that mean? All powerful, right? God is all powerful. When I humble myself to God, I am saying, God, I know that you're the greatest. Yes. There's no power like you, God. You are almighty. Somebody say almighty. All powerful. That's God. Then it says, then he may exalt you in due time. Now, we are all looking for this exaltation, right? Whether it be in your job, whether it be in school, no matter what you want to do, none of us want to. I was preparing for a class. I'm supposed to go teach at Aki Kurosi, a class with Mr. Waltz in there. I was supposed to go this Friday. He got sick. Hopefully, I'll be going next Friday. But I was going to ask them a question. Who in here wants to be broke for your life? Nobody raises their hand for that, right? Nobody says, I want to be broke, right? Can we be real? Somebody says, you don't want to have a house. You don't want to own nothing. You don't want to be nobody. Nobody in their right mind, let's get that clear, will say, that's what I want. Everybody wants to be exalted, right? That's why if you see people with greater things, once you start seeing it, you're like, oh, I want one of those. Oh, I want that. Oh, man, look, you see how that man dressed? You see, okay, I'm seeing my mindset has changed because I saw something. And we, in this world, we see so many things and it causes us to want to be exalted, right? Man in itself wanted to be exalted. There's a couple of passages in the Bible. The reason why Adam and Eve ate the fruit is because they wanted to be exalted, which really meant they wanted to be like God, right? That was the temptation. Okay, so then you had the Tower of Babel. Everybody remember this story? If not, that's when they were trying to build their way up to heaven, right? So they were building these towers, and God even said, man, when all these people work together, there's nothing they can't do, right? So he confused them. Okay, interesting. But we all want to be exalted, but in order to be exalted, we got to humble ourselves. Somebody tell your neighbor, be humble. Sit down. Some of y'all don't know nothing about that. That's good. All right. That was good. Anyway, it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. See, some of us is walking around with our own bondage, our own baggage, and God is saying, give it to me. See, we can't be alert. You cannot be alert. Have you ever tried to be alert with holding a whole bunch of stuff? Right? You ever try? If somebody is coming to rob you when you got a whole bunch of stuff in your hand, you are game to be robbed. Right? I saw one lady walking in, trying to walk in with her groceries one time, and somebody steal her groceries because her hands were full. There's nothing she could do. Right? I saw lady holding her purse one night. Some guy run up and try to snatch her purse from because she wasn't alert. Right? There's been a lot of people being snatched up these days. Literally, women and kids have been being taken from their families. And, you know, one time I was talking to Marcel, we were just talking about that, and he was like, we have to be alert to what's going on around us. Right? So that means if I park here, you know, when you read some of the instructions, it tells you, watch who's around you when you park. Watch who's around you when you get out. See, some of us, we just, gotta go in there. You ain't paying attention. Right? Pay attention to the details. And I'm not even just talking about in the natural, in the spiritual. Start watching what's going on around you. If everybody's starting to leave church, we got to make sure we're in the right place. We got to make sure saying, God, okay, God, I want to humble myself to make sure I hear you. God, everybody's saying they got a word from God, but it's just prosperity words. Like, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. I believe that, but that ain't the full extent of what God is saying. Okay, God is saying much more than you'll be blessed. Sometimes he's saying, be corrected. Sometimes he's saying, get in order, right? Get your house in order. This is the way that God speaks. He is not just saying, everything's going to be good for you. It's going to be all right. God doesn't talk like that all the time, right? Because, see, we are finite. I've been saying this a lot lately, which means that we are limited. Okay, I am limited in my understanding of God. It doesn't matter how long you've been in God, we are still limited in our understanding, because the Bible continues to say that his ways are higher than our ways, right? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I can be on the highest level of the thinking plateau and still not be in God's level. So I still have to humble myself and say, God, what do you want me to do? I have to get in a place where I seek God. Somebody say, seek him. All right, so it says, be sober. This is the verse I wanted to get to. Be vigilant, because your adversary, somebody say, your adversary. Catch this. The devil is not an enemy or an adversary to God. What do I mean by that? God is not threatened by the devil, right? There's nothing the devil can do that threatens God. God is not like, oh, man, there goes that devil. We better come up with a plan. He's not even thinking of the devil like that. He's in full control. You guys know what it means to be in full control? Now, see, I got 5 kids, and it's hard to be in full control of 5 kids. But when you got one, it's all right. Okay, cool. I got a little more control, right? If I send all 5 to my mom, she's like, hey, okay, I'm done. God, come get these guys. I love them, but they got to go. Right? But if I seen one, she was like, oh, it's great. All they did was play on this. And I'm like, cool. Okay. So now I just know I got to send one at a time every day. Amen. For 5 days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That way I get all of them over there, or at least once. Right? But now what I'm saying is, God is not threatened by the devil. God is in control. But see, the devil is a threat to us if we don't submit to God, right? If we don't submit to God, the devil's a threat. Which means if we're submitted to God, what? He's not a threat to us. The devil can't hold you back when you are walking in what God has called you to walk in and you are being obedient to God. This is about being alert. See, some of us are thinking, oh, the devil, he's doing things. You're not alert. Right? You're not armed. When I turn the alarm on, if somebody comes messing with my car, it'll go off because it's armed. Right? You're not armed when you think that the enemy is doing all this and you're looking at, you have to be alert, armed, and ready to go. Ephesians 6 says we have to have the full armor on, right? Because we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, right? So we have to put on the armor. This is part of being alert. We have to know what's going on. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But then it gives us instructions after that. I love the Bible because it clearly tells us how to. See, it doesn't just tell us about the problem. It tells us the solution. Have you ever had a conversation with people and all they got is the problem? The problem is, and it's like, so what should we do? I don't know. But this problem is, and they got the problems, bro. They got the problems down, but there's no solution. So what happens is that 30 minutes, that 2 hours, that 5 hours that you've been talking with that person really doesn't do any good. Because if you talk about a problem but don't give a solution, what good is it? It's just complaining, really. And complaining doesn't get anything fixed. Have you ever been around somebody that you're trying to build something with and all they do is complain about, this is not, I don't know. It's like, man, please, can you go somewhere so I can get this done? Right? Right? Just think about the Israelites when they're in the desert. God did not allow them to enter in to the promised land because they were complaining. And God was trying to build something, right? God is saying, we're going to go into this promised land that I'm building. While you're there, I'm going to build something. And really what he's doing, he's building something in us. Amen. So let's not just talk about the problem. Jesus is a solution. And his word is a solution. So get in that word. Amen. It says, verse 9, resist him. Somebody say resist. What does that mean? If I was going to resist an arrest, what does that mean? Come on, man, talk to me. You're not doing it. I like that, Brian. I would say it like this growing up. It's not going to happen. So when the devil comes, you say it's not going to happen, not because of me, but because of what God's word says. All right. So if the enemy thought this was going to happen, say, no, that's not going to happen because God's word says resist the devil and he will flee. Amen. There's a movie. What is that movie? The War Room, where the lady, it finally clicked. She was with the old lady, and the old lady, she gave her some coffee one time, and it was funny because she was like, how was your prayer life? And she was like, so-and-so. So she was like, I think prayer is like coffee. Some people like it hot. Some people just so-and-so, and some is just cold. So then she gave her some coffee, and it was cold. And she was like, what's wrong with this coffee? Then she was like, I like my prayer hot. And she was just drinking it, right? So that lady, after a while, just being around somebody, here's a word, get around people that are like-minded, amen? So you are alert. But she was around her and telling her how to pray. So she got home, and she was praying, and then she went and read this same scripture that said, resist him, steadfast in the faith, right? It was the one that said something that just like that, right? But it was resist. So she got up and just started walking around her house telling the devil, I rebuke you. I'm standing on the word of God. You no longer have control here, right? So something clicked because the word of God became alive in her. Amen. See, some of us, we read scripture, and this is why we got to pray, God, I need to understand what you're saying, because when I read this, I don't want it to just be a book that I'm reading. Right, I've been reading different books, and no book is like the word of God. You get some information, that was cool, that was okay, cool. But the Bible, it comes alive when you read it. And when it is applied in your life, it makes a difference. Amen? So it says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Do you know that other people are going through things too? In America, We think we the only one that got problems. Right? That Obed, you guys are from Uganda, right? They got different problems going on over there. Right? We saw Australia had fires going on, right? I just saw that there was another earthquake in where?
Puerto Rico.
That's right. There's problems everywhere, but we know the solution. The Bible says these things are going to happen. He says that it was going to happen, that there will be, in the last days, there will be pestilence. There will be wars and rumors of wars, right? Right now, we're kind of in that rumors of wars. Like, we're not sure what happened, but it could go down. But we must be sober and alert. See, don't let all the good things we have lure us to sleep where we're not seeking God like we need to, right? I was reading in my devotional today that many of us, we get good things and it causes us to forget God. And unfortunately, that thing becomes God in our lives. Right? When you're like, oh, man, if I could just, what car did you say you wanted to get today? Lamborghini? Yeah, he was like, yeah, well, when I get older, I'm going to get a Lambo. And I was like, whoa, praise the Lord, brother. I'm not going to say you ain't. but what begins to happen is, if we get that, what happens to our prayer life? Right. If we get that good thing, what happens to us seeking God? See, because sometimes we're conditioned to, oh, man, God is not going well. Let me go pray. Right. And the guy in the devotional was saying God allows that to happen to keep us humble. Just imagine if you got everything you pray for. Every time. How much time would you spend time with God? It's kind of like an easy button. Oh, God, I need this. Boom. Oh, bow. It's here. Woo. That's cool. All right, God, I got enough. Is that what we're saying to God? We have to seek him. Somebody say, seek him. Seek him. All right, but it says, but may the God of all grace, somebody say all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's powerful. I got these little motivational things going on every day on my phone. And, you know, one of them was like, if you feel like you're in pain where you are right now, just imagine what you're going to get when it's done. Right. Something like that. Saying basically this pain is not for no reason. Right now, I don't know how many of you guys have lifted. Has everybody lifted weights before in here? Everybody went and lifted some kind of weights. Now, after you lifted weights and you felt good, in 2 days, you're going to feel it. And some people, after those 2 days, is like, I'll never go work out again. That hurts, man. I can barely. Now, I did this one. I did this one workout, this calf workout, bro. I was walking like a cowboy for like 3 days. I couldn't put my hands, I couldn't put my legs all the way down, right? I had to walk literally like this because my calves were hurting bad. But muscles were being built. But see, some people would take that pain and be like, I can't do it no more. I won't work out like that again. And guess what? You're going to miss the perfection, the establishment, or the strength that you get from that work, that just that workout. Imagine that in your spiritual walk. Right? When you are going through things, one thing we need to say is, God, what do you want me to learn from this? I firmly believe that God will not allow you to pass a test until you can pass the test. Right? See, we're in a test and we're like, oh, God, I just get me out. God, and he's like, no, there's something I want you to learn from this. Right? You know, my wife, she calls me and says, babe, how do I do this? And I'd be like, you can figure it out. I want you to figure it out. Go ahead, figure it out. Just turn this thing. I could say it, but I'm like, I want you to learn how to do it. Right? I had to learn how to do, right? I didn't just learn how to work all this gadget stuff. I had to trial and error. So she was like, how do I get it to this channel? I was like, babe, you can figure it out. That's what I say. And then she, one of my kids is like, oh, they'll figure it out. Just let them just keep working for it. Why? Because I want them to learn something in that situation. See, it's easy to ask somebody else, especially when you're going through, oh, how do I get? But God is saying, no. I want you to learn this right now. I want you to learn as you go through. Somebody say learn. And the last verse, 11, says, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And somebody say, amen. Amen. So that's kind of what we see there by not falling asleep. Amen. I'm going to go to one more passage actually today, and then I think I'll be done for today. But we have to make sure we are not falling asleep. In the Bible, it talks about people falling to sleep, basically. And even and another word for sleep is they're dying. Right. If you see the word sleep, especially when they were talking about there's a scripture talking about communion. And he says, and those that have fallen asleep, it wasn't just talking about sleep. It said they died. Right. Because they were not in the right place with God. Amen. We cannot allow. Do you know that your spirit is a living thing? Did you guys know that? Which means you have to feed that living thing. Right. That means you have to clean that living thing. Right. You have to work that living thing. Because if you don't, it begins to die. Anybody used to have those what are those things? Those little pets. Chichia pets. Those little things. Right. Yeah. It's like that. You had to feed them. And if you don't feed it. Something like that. I don't know. I didn't have one. Gigapet. That's right. That's what it is. So the gigapets were these little things that people would take with them, and if they didn't feed them on time, they would die, right? They would starve to death, right? Or even another thing, Ariel, she had it when she was living with us. She had to have a baby, a toy baby, right? And this toy baby, she had to feed it at certain times. She had to change it at certain times, and if she didn't, she would fail her class. Because basically the baby would die, right? So he was teaching these kids how to take care of something that's living. Well, we have to do the same thing with our spirits. Your spirit is living and active. Just like God's spirit. We are made in his image, right? There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. The spirit that we have to keep it alive by feeding it things that keep it alive. See, that's why I think it's important, and I'm going to talk to the young people, it's important to watch what you watch, which means protect what you watch, protect what you listen, protect your ears from, you don't just listen to everything, because there's a lot of stuff that's not good, that is damaging your spirit, and people be like, oh, it doesn't really matter, but I believe that your whole mindset is shaped from what you hear. A lot of the hip-hop shaped a lot of people in our generation. I think that's why it was easy to bring weed in, because they talked about it since Snoop Dogg was doing his thing way back in the day, right? Even the drinks that certain people drink, they drink it because their favorite artist talked about it. Oh, he had the gin and juice, right? He put some coke in something. You know what I mean? Like, they learn that stuff from what they hear. So watch what you listen and hear. Amen. Last passage, Lynn, let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and then we're going to start at verse 36. And we're going to go through 44, and after that, we will be done. Amen. Is that all right with you? Oh, you guys want to go to overtime? Now, that's one place that people don't be like, overtime, hey, in church? I don't know about that, Pastor. Amen. Now, there's always somebody in the congregation that be like, keep on going. Right? You be like, I got the word. Amen. But anyway, it says this in chapter 24, verse 36. It says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now you have to actually go read Noah to kind of figure out what he's saying there, right? I mean, if you don't know anything about Noah, you have no idea what he's talking about right there. Right? But if we just did a quick recap, in Noah, the story of Noah, God was so angry that he wanted to get rid of all mankind. Right? It was just out of control. The world was out of control. It was in at a place where God literally pressed the reset button. Right? Right. Reboot. That's right. So he not only did he press the reset button, he got rid of everything. He deleted. He cleaned his hard drive. He said, I made these people and they are bothering me, man. Why? Because sin was rampant. Which, do you guys know what rampant means? I know that's like a church word. It's ragged. It's all over the place. Sin was everywhere. Right? And one thing I want you guys to catch is they mocked the person that God set in place. See, that's one thing that happened. See, Noah was still trying to get them to come in, but they mocked him as he was pretty much the mouthpiece of God. So they rejected God. So it wasn't just that sin was everywhere. They rejected God. So he says, when God is getting ready to come back, it's going to be the same as it was in Noah. So also, that's what it says right there. Amen. So verse 38 says, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking. Somebody say drinking. Marrying and giving in marriage. Until the day that Noah entered the ark. Okay? So what that means is they were just going about their business. Going about their business. Oh, yeah. Still handling. Oh, man, let's get this contract. They weren't concerned about what was getting ready to happen. But the flood came. Somebody say the flood came. It says, and the flood. I'm sorry. What verse am I on? 38. 39, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. Let me go back. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Here's a verse that I want us to get to. Watch. Somebody say watch. Therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. Somebody say ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Okay, so I don't know about you, that kind of, when God is coming, it's kind of a scary thing because you don't know when it's going to happen, right? But you gotta get prepared, right? You have to be alert, saying, God, okay, God, I don't want to get caught just going about my own business. Right, I might have my Michael. You got your shop going on. I got Obed and Hannington there in school trying to get things. We don't want to be stuck so focused on that we miss God. Right, I'm trying to get a new album done. I'm working on this. I don't want to be so hung up on that I miss God, because He's coming back. So I have to prioritize. Somebody say prioritize. I have to prioritize keeping my spirit alive. I have to prioritize making sure I'm feeding my spirit, man, more than I'm feeding my face. Right? Because see, how many of us, we won't go without eating. Right? I mean, you see me, you see I'm working on trying to get rid of some of this, right? And I appreciate some people. Hey, he's losing weight. Praise God. Right? But it's easy to go eat something. But it's not that easy to get in your word. So we have to prioritize so we are staying alert. Amen. Don't sleep. Be alert. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for your word today. I pray to God that your word would keep us alert, God. God, I pray to God, not only your word, but that God, that you would speak to us new things, oh God, so that we can walk in everything you've called us to walk in. God, that we be obedient to you and your word. God, and forgive us for falling asleep at times. Forgive us for not paying attention to the things of God at times, oh God. And I thank you for your grace and your mercy that you covered us with. But God, allow us to be alert, knowing, dear God, what you have going on. God, we want to be prepared when you come, so prepare us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.